Welcome to Message of Hope, the radio ministry of Meadowview Church of Christ, located at 6750 Raiders Road in Frazeesburg. Meadowview Church of Christ meets every Sunday with a worship service at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:15 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to join us. To learn more about the Meadowview Church of Christ, visit us online at meadowviewchurch.com.
I want to begin today with a new summer sermon series called Amazing Old Testament Stories of Faith. So since it's Father's Day, I thought I would try to find the perfect father in the Bible. Didn't find him, because there isn't any. The only perfect father is our Heavenly Father above. But there are some pretty good examples of fathers in the Bible. But all of us have what might be described as dad flaws. Let me give you some examples. Adam raised a son who wound up murdering his brother. Abraham, the great father of the nation of Israel, kicked his firstborn teenage son Ishmael out of the house, sent him and his mother packing, and as far as we know, never saw them again. Isaac made it obvious he loved one son, Esau, more than he loved the other son, Jacob, because Esau liked to hunt and be in the outdoors, and Jacob liked to stay inside. This led to an intense hatred between Esau and Jacob. And Jacob, unfortunately, fell into the same trap. He loved one son, Joseph, more than the others. The great prophet Samuel was such a permissive dad, letting his sons do whatever they wanted, that when they were older, they accepted bribes and perverted justice. Now, there are other examples, but my point is simply there is no such thing as a perfect dad, yet we do have good examples of dads who were pretty faithful. So as I began to search God's word for a dad to talk about today, I didn't have to go very far. This dad is mentioned in Genesis chapter 6, and you pretty much know his story. His name is Noah. And I want to begin by having you listen to what the writer of Hebrews says about Noah in that great chapter 11, verse 7. Here's what it says. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen. They had never seen a flood. They had never even seen a rain yet. In reverence, in other words, he believed God, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. Now I want you to notice in this verse the reason given as to why Noah built the ark, for the salvation of his household. Or some translations say, to save his family. It's that verse I got the title for this message. Noah, a dad who saved his family. Now that seems to me like a pretty good dad to imitate. Amen? A dad that wanted to save his family. And I am sure every dad in this room and every dad who's watching wants to save your family. The goal of every mom or dad or grandpa or grandma or any Christian for that matter should be to save your family. So today, let's see what the Bible has to say about this Old Testament dad named Noah and how he saved his family. Before we do that, though, like we always do, let's ask God for his wisdom and understanding as we spend these few moments in his word. Let's go to him in prayer. Good morning, Father. Thank you again for the freedom you provide for us to be able to gather together as your children. Thank you for being the only perfect father that we know. You do all things right for us, Father. Help us to know that and to understand that. Lord, today we're going to take a look at another pretty good father that we find in the Old Testament, Noah. Lord, use me to help us to determine why he was able to save his family and use these same characteristics in our lives that we might save our families. Lord, we love you and thank you for your word and its truth. May it bless us today. May it encourage us today. May we be stronger today because of your word and your strength. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, before we take a closer look at Noah, I just want to say a couple things here. First one is simply this. I love being a dad. I really do. In fact, it's kind of hard, as I was thinking about it this week, for me to comprehend that my fatherhood adventure began almost 50 years ago. I'm feeling pretty old. September 28, 1975, our son Clint was born. And Debbie and I had the blessing and privilege of being his parents for over 24 years. Our daughter Cassie was born 3 years later. And earlier this year, we added a son-in-law, Guy, to the family. And I love it. He now calls me either Dad or Pops. Sounds pretty good. Second thing, I've always found that wearing that title of father or dad is an incredible honor. It's a huge responsibility, and sometimes it can be overwhelming and intimidating. And then the final thing I want to say is simply this, and I want to say it to all you dads that are here and are watching because this is important. Despite what modern culture and our secular media says, dads matter a lot. You are important, dads. Yes, praise the Lord for that. And let me give you some statistics to prove this. I did a lot of research for this message. We're going to talk about some touchy stuff here in a moment. But I want you to listen. I'm going to ask this question. What do all these things I'm about to say, what do they have in common? 90% of homeless and runaway children, 63% of youth who commit suicide, 80% of all rapists, 85% of children with behavioral problems, 71% of all high school dropouts, 75% of all teens in chemical abuse centers, 85% of all youth in prison, and 70% of all girls who become pregnant as teens. What do they have in common? You got it. They come from a home without a dad. Now, I know that there's been a lot of debate on the importance of fathers in the home in recent years. And let me say this, that I realize and I praise the Lord that there are many single moms who can and often do a great job in the home, even when dad's not around and is not involved in their children's lives. And I praise God for you. But it still does not diminish the importance of a dad being a positive influence in the life of his child or children. So for the rest of our time today, I want to reveal five key characteristics that enable God to use Noah to save his family. First one's this. Dads who save their families make themselves available. God was able to use Noah because he was available. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, well, that's pretty obvious. But the fact is, when God was looking at the entire population of the world, which most scholars believed to be at that time, about 1 million people, he can only find one available person to do what he wanted to be done. And even though this characteristic may be obvious, never underestimate its importance. A dad being available is essential to God being able to use that dad to save his family. If a dad's not around his family, how could he possibly save them? The longer I'm a Christian, the more I realize that God does not need superstar dads. He simply needs ordinary people who will say, Lord, here I am, I'm available, use me. That's what God needs. Many of those first followers of Jesus, even some of the ones that he handpicked as his apostles, were very ordinary guys. Some of them were poor fishermen. And I love how Luke describes Peter and John in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. The Bible says, now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Peter and John were just a couple of ordinary guys who made themselves available to Jesus, and look what he did through them. God has always been actively looking for available people. We read this in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord roam throughout the earth, so that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. My fellow dads, We can be certain that God wants to strengthen our hearts so that we can save our families, but we need to be available. We need to be there for our kids. And that may mean we have to give something else up. In my research this week, I came across a few examples. I'm only going to share two. About dads who just did that. The first example is a guy who is probably known for shrinking his kids in the movies. But Rick Moranis, star of Ghostbusters and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, decided to leave acting so that he could focus more on his family, and he became a stay-at-home dad. This is what he said a few months after he made this decision, and I quote, "When my kids come home, there's music, there's lights on, there are great smells coming out of the kitchen, and it was just a joyful place to be. And that's where I wanted to be when my children got home." Sean Considine was an NFL safety who retired early. He said, and I quote, "2 years ago, I spent 6 months away from my kids after they were born, and I said I'd never do that again. I love football as much as anybody, and it's been really great to me. But I've been gone for basically 2 years, and my wife and kids are at the point where I need to be around for them." Unquote. Now, I understand that it does not have to be that dramatic, that you don't have to leave a career, but being available could simply mean that as a dad, you're going to make the important decision to intentionally spend time with your kids, and that may mean sacrificing some of your personal and/or hobby time. So, dads, are you available so that God can use you to save your family? Second characteristic, dads who save their families understand the dangers. There was one very real and serious danger that Noah's family faced. The danger of living in a broken, sinful, evil world. Hasn't changed much today. We can read about what was happening in Noah's world. Genesis 6 verse 5 says this, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of mankind was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually." Can you imagine that? That's what was going on in Noah's world. Verses 11 and 12 tell us, "Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence, and God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For humanity had corrupted its way upon the earth." The point is that Noah saw the evil and messed up world his family was living in, and he spoke out against it. Now you say, well, Sam, how do you know that? Because that's what Peter said. 2 Peter 2 verse 5 says that God protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. Noah knew that the world he and his family lived in was evil and corrupt. He knew it was a very real danger to his family. Today, dads, if you desire to save your family, you need to recognize the very real danger of living in a broken, sinful, evil, and messed up world. So I did some research this week, and I found what I think is a great website called Covenant Eyes. It's a group of Christians who get together and they speak about what kids are seeing today and the dangers of what they see. And it shares the research that these writers have done about the greatest dangers the internet and social media pose to children today. They said there are four. Now this is sensitive, but it's necessary. Four dangers the internet poses for our children. Number one is pornography. In their research, they said, repeatedly viewing pornography, especially from a young age, can radically shape one's sexual attitudes and beliefs. Frequent exposures to sexually explicit material is closely linked to more permissive attitudes about sex, such as having multiple sexual partners, one-night stands, casual sexual relations with friends, and even mimicking behaviors seen in pornography. But here's the thing that amazed and shocked me. Before the age of 18, 83% of boys and 57% of girls have seen sex acts online. That's disturbing. Second danger is sexting. That's sending or receiving nude or partially nude photos or videos to the internet or cell phones. When teens engage in this risky behavior, many things can go wrong. Those images can easily be forwarded to others. At times, they can be considered child pornography, and some teens have already been given felony charges. 20% of teens have sent or posted a nude or semi-nude image of themselves. Along with that, near 20% have received a sexting message that they have sent to someone else. Third danger, cyberbullying. We know that bullying is part of the playground, the school systems, we know that. But it's also part of the digital world. Hurtful words are exchanged. Rumors start easily, spread quickly. Profiles and emails are hacked. 1 in 5 teens say that someone has written something about them online that wasn't true. 9% say someone has threatened to use electronic communication like Facebook, email, text messages to tell others private things about them as a form of blackmail. Fourth danger, predators. The internet's a perfect forum to meet new people, but some with malicious intent can use it to befriend your child. Internet predators are expert manipulators able to foster a relationship of dependence with a teenager. Most prey on a teen's desire to be liked, their desire for romance, or their sexual curiosity. These can then turn into offline relationships or, in extreme cases, opportunities for kidnapping or abduction. Here's some statistics. 76% of predators are 26 or older. 47% of predators are at least 20 years older than their victims. 83% of victims who met their offender face-to-face willingly went somewhere with them. Now, I share those statistics because, dads, if we want to save our families, we must be aware of both the obvious dangers and those other subtle dangers that this world presses against our children. Let me remind you what you already know. There's a thief whose name is Satan, and he longs to steal, kill, and destroy the life God has for you and your children. Satan doesn't care who he uses to get into your child's life. His goal is to sink his deadly claws deep into their lives, knowing that if he can do that, there's a high likelihood he will have them for their entire lives. He will lie to you, he will lie to your children, he will lie to all people about what beauty is, about what strength is, and about what success is. And he will try to get all of us to think that we are useless, that we don't measure up, and that there is no way that we can ever live like God wants us to live, and that's lies that come out of hell. And I want you to know that today. And I want you as children to know that today. We serve a God who wants what's best for us, and he will use you to help save your family. Noah knew that God's judgment was about to be unleashed on the world, and he wanted to save his family from that. Genesis 6, 13 and 14 says, "Then God said to Noah, 'The end of humanity has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of people. And behold, I'm about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood.'" Then he goes on to describe how to make it. Noah was obedient. He preached righteousness for 120 years and converted only his family. The rest thought he was crazy because they'd never seen a flood before. But God was faithful to Noah. And we read this in Genesis 6, verse 18. "But I will establish my covenant with you." He's talking, this is God speaking to Noah. "And you shall enter the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. God carried out his promise to Noah and his family, and they were spared from that horrific flood. So dads, we must understand the very real danger of our kids living in a way that is against God and rejects God. We must remember what the Bible teaches, that God will someday, when Jesus returns, punish those who, as Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8, who do not know God, and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we need to have a much greater concern for our children's walk with God than what kind of grades they get, how well they excel at sports, what college they go to, or what career field they enter. None of those are unimportant. But the top priority for any parent needs to be, is my child walking with my Savior? Here's a third characteristic of Noah. Dads who save their families dare to be different. Genesis 6:9 says this, Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. Morally, Noah was a man of deep conviction who dared to be different. Noah was not afraid to stand alone. He was not afraid of what other people thought of him. Even though the people of his time were morally bankrupt, Noah was not going to be influenced by them. He was, as God states, blameless in his generation. Noah dared to be different. He did not buy into the world's morals or values. Dads, will you, like Noah, dare to be different? Fourth characteristic, I just read it. Dads who save their families walk with God. That's what it says about Noah at the end of Genesis 6:9. That Noah walked with God. And this walking with God is definitely not something that's going to happen by accident. I don't know if you ever thought about this, but I have. I've often wondered what it must have been like for Adam and Eve when they first entered into the Garden of Eden. It was a perfect paradise. I don't know what that would have been like. Do you? But here's what I know. Not only did they walk with God, but Genesis 3 says that God literally walked with them in the cool of the day. Can you imagine that? Being in the presence of God? But then we know what happened. The tree, the fruit, the serpent, Satan, the lies, the bite, the sin, which led to what we often call the fall of mankind. What once was so natural and easy, walking with God, became difficult and unnatural. So the bottom line is this, I'm addressing not only dads, I'm addressing everybody. In order to have a solid walk with God, we're going to have to want that. We must pursue it with passion, realizing that if we really want to walk with God and have him walk with us, he is available to all who will faithfully follow him. Jesus said it this way in John 12, verse 26. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him or her. Fifth and final characteristic, dads who save their families never give up. They don't give up. Bible says God delayed the flood for a period of time. Genesis 6 verse 3 says this. Then the Lord said, my spirit will not remain with man forever because he is also flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. God was saying that there's a limit to his patience. That the clock is ticking. And he will take from this disobedient human race. In other words, after the decision was made to destroy the world by a flood, God waited another 120 years. That's how long it took for Noah to build the ark. But here's my question. If you want to be used by God, could you maintain enthusiasm for a project that took that long to complete? I've often wondered about that. Do you think that you could have kept your motivation up, stayed excited, and kept on keeping on if you knew it was going to take 120 years in Noah's case? Of course, they lived longer back then. But I can imagine that there were many days that Noah hated to look at that ark, Maybe there were times he wanted to say, I don't want to work on this ark anymore. I'm tired. I've done my duty. I don't want to get out of bed today. I don't feel like it. And yet we have this great example of persistence, day in, day out, building, nailing, tar paper, and whatever, for 120 years. Maybe he thought, Lord, you know, I've been at this for 50 years now. Why don't you just give me my gold watch and let somebody else take over? I've done my share. But Noah never gave up. You know why? Because Noah was a man of commitment. Every day as he nailed those nails and built those boards and bent everything into shape to make the ark, he was saying to the world around him, I believe in God. He never gave up. Every day Noah preached a sermon. And no, he wasn't standing behind a pulpit or a podium. He wasn't giving a speech. He was preaching a sermon that's the most effective kind of sermon ever preached with the way that he lived his life. A sermon that you and I get to preach every single day. That's why he stood out for those 120 years. Dads who save their families never give up. It's not going to be easy. There's going to be problems and pressures and people who will make you want to throw in your hammer and give up building your ark as you serve the Lord. But don't give up, because God uses people who refuse to give up. When they get knocked down, they get right back up again. Paul wrote some encouraging words, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. I love this. Here's what he said. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be firm, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I just want to end in this way. It's Father's Day 2025. Praise the Lord for all you dads. Here's just a brief summary of this message. Noah wasn't a completely perfect and flawless dad, because I haven't found one yet that is. But Noah saved his family because he was available, because he understood the danger, because he dared to be different, because he walked with God, and because he never gave up. Dads who follow in Noah's footsteps, I believe, will save their families.
This is Sam Dunn, and I have the privilege of serving as the evangelist with the Meadowview Church of Christ in Frazeesburg. I just want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast and listening to a message from Meadowview. If you do not already have a church home, or if we can help you in any way, you can contact us through our website, which is meadowviewchurch.com, or simply call us at 740-828-2536. Thanks again for tuning in, and may God's blessings be with you today.